This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It is BFM 89.9, The Business Station. Good afternoon. Welcome to Enterprise Explores. This is the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. I'm Rich Bradbury. It is 12:06 here in the studio, and happy Valentine's Day. So, of course, today, the 14th of February, is a day dedicated to expressing love and affection towards partners, family members, and friends. Originating from ancient Roman tradition, Valentine's Day has evolved into a global celebration of love, characterized by the exchange of gifts like flowers, chocolates, and greetings cards, spending a lot of money unnecessarily, arguably. In today's contemporary society, Valentine's Day serves not only as an opportunity for individuals to showcase their love and appreciation for one another, but also as a significant event for businesses and marketers who capitalize on this day through tailored marketing campaigns, special offers, and themed products. The same can be observed, of course, for other days like Mother's Day, Father's Day, although maybe not quite on the same magnitude. Today, I'll be speaking with Ranganathan Somanathan, the co-founder and curator of R-Squared Global Ventures, Kwa Jenhan, creative director, and Christina Fong, creative director, both from the Chariot Agency, about how they understand the consumer's psyche and craft the right marketing and ads campaigns that resonate so well with the audience. And if you have any thoughts, you can get us on our U-Mobile WhatsApp number, 018-789-8899. You can also get us on X. We're over at BFM Radio. Guys, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey, morning.
And a happy Valentine's Day to all.
Happy Valentine's Day to all of you.
Happy Galentine's.
My wife. Happy Galentine's. Rich, you didn't have to set up an interview just to ask me out today.
Well, you see, it's been a while since I've seen you. It's the only way I can get you into the studio nowadays. Welcome back, though, Jenhan, of course. Now, I told you guys outside that one of the reasons that I wanted to do this show before you interrupt, I can see him, he's already wanting to interrupt, is obviously we've had good, we had a good show this morning with Bloom This, and it's obviously they sell flowers to one another. Of course, it's Valentine's Day, biggest event for the of the year for them. But my thought was kind of the other side of things.
Okay.
Why are these things constantly pushed towards us every year? And why do we feel the need to buy them? That's kind of the angle of this show.
Okay.
I don't want to sound like a, you know.
You sound very disgruntled. is everything okay?
Everything's fine. Not necessarily disgruntled, but, you know, in the context of Valentine's Day,
yes.
Let's talk about marketing strategies for products like flowers and chocolates. Do they differ from when we're trying to market other stuff to people?
Well, okay. So I think if I'm understanding the question correctly, it's like why do people push flowers and chocolates, and like why do people want to buy them?
Yeah.
Right? Well, I from an agency's point of view, like I think questioning that is a bit extreme, because that's often the brief that's come, right?
Yeah.
But from a psychological point of view, there might be a reason. Ranga?
I think it goes back to the social norms that have been set up over a period of time. And specifically, chocolates and flowers are a bit of a easy or lazy solutions to express your love.
See, I'm not the only person who thinks that.
And it's not that bad, especially if you're in the early stage of a relationship and you don't want to overstep that engagement, then you're okay to actually...
Because it's a safe choice, right?
It's a safe choice. Yeah. You don't mess it up. On the other side, it is also a thing to test waters, right? If you're not giving something versus you're giving something, you can never irritate anybody by giving them chocolates or flowers.
But it would irritate me. I think it was like first Valentine's with my husband, and he got me flowers. It was very sweet, and I say thank you so much, please never again.
So that was the other point, right? Yes. If the relationship is established and it's mature, the other person can see it as a lazy option to say, hey, you didn't figure out what you want to give me, or you don't know
it's
me.
Not so just,
it's not special
enough.
It's not special.
Is that what you thought, Christina?
No, I just thought it was such a... It's a very commercial holiday as well, right? Yeah. People spend money on flowers and chocolates because you don't know, literally, you don't know what else to get, right? And I thought, you know, we have birthdays, we have anniversaries, you know, it just seemed like another holiday.
Yeah. Is that the cycle? Do you think that's part of the psychological underpinning then? Is that I just have to get something, and this is an easy way of making sure I score points?
Okay, so I think everyone definitely always want to say something or do something for people that they like, right? So from an advertising point of view, we're trying to help them achieve that. Mm-hmm. Right? So I guess the task is not so much to create something for you to then, because the easier it is for you to explain, for example, like Ranga was saying, like chocolates and flowers are the safe option. Right? You don't have to explain why I'm giving you flowers or chocolates on Valentine's Day. Mm. Right? I think the advertiser's task is to make that a bit more special.
Okay, so if I'm hearing you correctly then, you could give special chocolates on this special day. From a marketing perspective, you guys could make this particular brand of chocolate extra special for that day to serve a purpose of it. Like, you're not lazy. You've been out and you've bought extra special chocolate brand X.
Okay, so okay. It is, we know that like Christina, like she got just flowers and chocolate. It's regular. It's the cliched gift to give, right? But let's say if our client is a chocolate brand, right? Yeah, our client's a chocolate brand now. We know that we have to push chocolates. Yeah, people have to make sales. Mm. Our task could be like, how can we make this not cliché? Mm. For example, bad example. Okay. Bad example is, can we make a mold for you in whatever shape you want to make chocolates at home with your loved ones?
Better idea.
So it's taking something that is very cliché or like not normal, because the thing is this, Rich, we have to sell things.
No, yeah, I agree. Right? Yeah. Would that appeal more to you than Christina, something like that?
Not really.
I think she's questioning the very validity of having a special day like Valentine's Day, that you express your love for the other person only on a special day. It should be probably every day. I feel like that about Mother's Day, actually.
But I think it's interesting what Jahan brought up about making it special, because actually the whole reason why Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day was really to sell things in the first place. Mm. I think Cadbury was actually the very first brand to make giving chocolate on Valentine's Day a thing, and it really came from like a necessity, and they saw the opportunity and they're like, you know what, let's make chocolates and Valentine's a thing.
If they can sell flowers on this day, surely we can sell chocolates on this day. Okay, so moving on then a little bit, and let's talk about social media campaigns and that kind of thing. The idea behind leveraging social media and digital marketing tech, and let's use the word influence people to purchase things. How different is that when it comes to marketing these special campaigns? You know, I mean, okay, so Jenhan, you said, you know, we've got a product, we need to sell it, blah, blah, blah. Mm. But how much of like moving away from cliche is it in social media? How important does it have to be to, because these adverts have been going on for decades.
Yeah.
You know, and they all follow a very similar format. Buy these special things for your special person on this special day.
Yeah.
And that's why at the beginning of the show, I may have sounded a little bit grumpy.
Yes.
So how do we get away from that?
Wow. How? I guess that's the question, right? Like every brand wants to know, how do I sound different from everyone else?
Yeah.
I guess that's, it's a tough question to answer, in my opinion.
That's why I've got three of you here to answer the question.
Tell me, guys.
Yeah,
tell me.
I think one thing that I've noticed, like with brands that are not selling chocolates or not selling flowers, right, is that they make it relevant to what they're selling. They make it relevant. Like, for example, I think there was a brand that sold, I think it was an insurance brand that sold like love insurance on Valentine's Day. And that's quite cute, right? They don't necessarily have to make sales or they don't necessarily have to sell something.
It becomes brand awareness.
At a very fundamental level, right? Yeah. Brands succeed when they make themselves discoverable and they make themselves sociable.
Mm. Yeah.
Whether it is Valentine's Day or not, how do you make yourself discoverable? When people are looking for you, do you show up?
Right.
And when people want to talk about you, do you make it easy for them to talk about it, right? So if you operate on these two fundamental principles of brand building, events like Valentine's Day allow brands to actually unlock that value of discoverability and sociability. And that's where the role of an influencer comes in.
Hashtag hijacking.
Yeah. Well, you can call it hijack or riding the wave, you know.
In the agency, it's like trendjacking.
I would actually say riding the wave, right? Sometimes you create the wave, sometimes you ride the wave. And brands who are very smart, they create the wave, and then the following brands, the followers, they kind of try to ride the wave, right? So how do you actually work on that? How do you create that momentum for yourself is a fundamental task. Now, influencers today play a big part in that. I have a 16-year-old teenager, and she was talking to me about how there's this particular limited edition bottle. They just launched that bottle with a heart as a Valentine's Day edition, and it got sold out, right? And now the rest of that community, the 16-year-olds, are now trying to trade that bottle off the grid as a currency.
16-year-old currency.
Yeah, so she's excited. The brand succeeding, right? And did it create fun element for my kid? Yes, it did. Mm. So what's wrong with that, right? Now, of course, it is making a hole in my pocket. That's my problem. But from the brand building perspective and the audience, I think it has really created some traction. And I think I like that.
Okay. Yeah. That's a task, I guess, for most brands, or at least for us advertisers to help our brands achieve.
Yeah, right. But I think also fundamentally it plays into the idea that people want to be a part of something, right? And when everybody's talking about Valentine's Day, how can I be a part of it? They're just looking for pockets of places where it makes sense for them, right?
So there is an element of FOMO to it then?
Of course.
Okay, hold that thought. I'm going to come back with that in a few minutes. Folks, you are tuned in, of course, to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. We're discussing how to understand the consumer's psyche and craft the right marketing and ad campaigns that resonate so well with the audience. I'm here, of course, with Ranganathan Somanathan, the co-founder and curator of R Squared Global Ventures and creative directors from the Chariot Agency, Kwa Jenhan and Christina Fong. I'm Rich Bradbury. We'll be right back after these messages. Keep it here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Boring, fake, macho. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. Welcome back to Enterprise Explores. 12:20 here in the studio. Of course, it is Valentine's Day. It is the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. We're discussing Valentine's Day and the campaigns around it. I'm in the studio with Ranganathan Somanathan, co-founder and curator of R Squared Global Ventures and creative directors from the Chariot Agency, Kwa Jenhan and Christina Fong. Christina, just before the break, we ended on the idea of FOMO. And I kind of want to return back to that. And of course, from a psychological standpoint, how significant is the role of societal expectations, peer influence, FOMO, in helping to shape consumer behavior around Valentine's Day? And when I say shape consumer behavior,
influence.
I think, if you think about like the kind of shows that you grew up in, like even before you join advertising or you go into the workplace, you're looking at movies that are Valentine's themed. You're looking at TV specials that are Valentine's themed. You're seeing the kind of gifts that they get. And you're like, when I grow up, I want that for my life.
Right.
Right. And then as you grow older and then the social media, the influencers getting like 100 roses bouquet.
You want your moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You want
to sound like a Disney movie.
because Rich, when you reach upon a star.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. Right, what do you think, Ranga?
See, fear of missing out is a fundamental emotion.
Yeah.
And that's what we are trying to unlock and make ourselves relevant in that emotion. So I'm a pretty rational guy, right? And then if there's an opportunity to connect with a customer, a consumer, who has a heightened awareness and sensitivity around, I don't want to miss out, either to receive the experience or to give that experience, it is brand's duty, if you're present in that cultural environment, to enable that consumer to unlock that emotion.
Yeah.
And therefore, I think it is a right thing to do. Right. And if you don't have you don't play that and you don't create that environment for people to amplify that emotion, then it'll be a very boring place.
It's a missed opportunity, right? I really like what you said.
I am sat in a room full of marketeers. Yeah.
It's a brand's duty. That's very strong words, but like I agree. It is because it's an opportunity.
Mm. See, the point is, you know, let's talk about this part of the world. It's a tropical weather. You don't have weathers that, you know, mark the progress between winter to summer to autumn to spring. Imagine you didn't have these tentpole events. You will just go through a year not knowing what happened.
Yeah.
Having these windows, these celebratory windows, whether it is festivals or these social tentpoles, you will not see any markers in your life. That's a, you know, creating experiences, meaningful experiences, is the job of a brand, and you should actually do it with a lot of gusto and not be apologetic about it.
Mm. You agree?
Agree.
Yeah,
I would. It's so well put, Ranga. Yeah. It's so well
so
put.
Eloquent.
Okay, okay. Very eloquently put. I'll take that argument. Okay. But I want to move on to something a little bit different. I mean, it's kind of off kilter a little bit, but it's around consumer awareness and sustainability. I know a bit of a shift, a bit of a pivot here. And stuff like ethical products, ethical practices. Now, when we look at stuff like products like flowers and chocolates and whatever, is that as appealing to the conscious consumer nowadays as it used to be? You know, you've got a lot of packaging, you've got a lot of this, that, and the other. You know, global warming's here. We have to spend a lot of money on getting these flowers shipped around the world and cold check. I know this is probably not the questions you were expecting to answer, but, you know, there are now ethical consumers who really do think about these things. And are brands aware that they may need to tailor the way in which they do things now because of these new up-and-coming thoughts?
Yeah, I think brands definitely are aware, right? And also, smart brands will be more conscious about, like, we don't want to come across as like greenwashing.
Right.
Right. But the step to finding their footing, it takes a while. Like, you have to be very honest as to, like, genuine, like, really, what does your brand stand for?
Mm.
Which is a question I feel a lot of marketers are afraid to ask themselves, because asking that question requires it's like asking you, what does your company stand for when you're just an employee, right? So but definitely, yes, brands are aware. Brands are aware and brands are trying.
And I think also, like, the desire to want things will never change. It's just shape and form, you know, the shape and form changes, but the desire remains the same. And so they're just finding, like, different.
Yeah.
There are also two universal truths, right? Yeah. One is that I want to be sustainable, but how much effort I'm going to put behind being sustainable.
Yeah.
How inconvenient it is going to be sustainable.
So I have an example of that not being done well. A lot of brands want to appeal to Gen Z. I want to appeal to younger people. And then they make the leap. What do younger people like? Younger people like to be sustainable.
Mm.
Let's just do that. But they don't know what it means.
Mm.
Exactly, right? So it's how do you straddle the spectrum of convenience and sustainability, both from a receiver, the consumer perspective, how much am I willing to sacrifice, compromise to be able to sustain? And again, I go back to personal example.
Mm.
My children talk the sustainability game at home,
mm.
and then they walk out of the room with the switch on, the lights not turned off.
Yeah.
So who's going to take care of that part? Right? I mean, you added that fundamental level of behavior to then associating to a person who does not align with their values. And this is a conversation I was having with my daughter. A lot of my reverse mentoring happens through talking to my teenage kids. And she said, I might not agree with this particular artist's behavior, but I appreciate the art.
Mm.
So look at that nuance there, right?
Yeah.
I don't agree with this point of view, but I appreciate the art he puts out.
Mm.
So that's a nuance that brands need to straddle.
Mm.
A lot of times we try to make ourselves black or white.
Yes.
And there you get a lot of pissed off consumers.
Yeah.
Right? And that's interesting. And coming back to gifting around, there are like 7-8% or 7-10% of today's merchandise on e-commerce stores from gifting stores is saplings. So rather than just send flowers, they are willing to send a small potted plant so that it grows and it's nurtured. And it is actually...
It's an experience. Yeah. You're selling an experience.
And it doesn't die the next day.
But if you really probe it hard and say, hey, do you know how much it costs for them to ship it, put it everything? They say, no, I can't be so bothered about it. But I'm not just sending something that is perishable, but I'm sending. So that is a compromise I'm willing to make.
Mm.
And it's a journey.
Mm.
And the brands have to be part of that journey.
Yeah. So what Ranga was saying, like, I think if brands start asking, okay, how do I then tap onto all these nuanced things, right? I guess, like, for me and Christina at the agency, we believe, like, it has to start, like, that being nuanced is a human insight. You know, like, that's how people are. Brands have to work from there. Yeah. You can't just make big sweeping like generalization based on data. Oh, young people like this, therefore this. Yeah. It's you have to go deeper.
And not be preachy.
Yeah.
Not be preachy about it. Not take a pedestal. I'm better than all of you. You follow this, right? So that kind of doesn't work.
One of I think most brands, at least in my experience, the mistake they make is they assume that people actually go on their social media pages to look at their feed. No one does. Mm. No one goes, very few, maybe no one's strong, but very few people actually go to the brand's page to look at their feed. Yeah. But they always assume, it's dangerous to assume that, like, that's what people do. That's not what people
do. It's not what people do. I mean, if I'm interested in a brand, I will actively search that brand and go and check out maybe, you know, and then I'll add them to my feed just to say, oh, I've added them to my feed. But I won't, like, actively wait for them to post something, you know. It won't happen. If I see it on my social media, great, you know, I've seen an ad or whatever, but I won't wait for it to come out. You know what I mean?
Totally. That's the reason why I said discoverability. Your job as a brand today is not to pop in and be intrusive, but be there when somebody's looking for something, a solution or an experience. How do I show up and make it easy for you to engage with me and not go and hide in my dungeon?
Okay, so, so just before we take another break then, when we look at stuff like, and I speak about this when emotional branding, right? And, and it's obviously around Valentine's Day, it's a big thing, but not just around Valentine's Day. We see the Raya ads that come out every single year. We know it's kind of visit your family and, you know, it's a difficult time for everybody. How and why are we stuck in that space where, you know, we know this works, it's a formula that works, let's just do the same thing. And it becomes so, it's that ad again, and it's just been recycled.
Okay, I guess from a psychological point of view, like, you remember things if it has an emotional
connection.
A connection.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I guess that's true. Is that fair to say, right?
Yeah.
So brands try to do that. Right, but that's where the creativity sometimes fails, because you know you're trying to have an emotional connection with the audience, but you don't know what other ways you can do it. And Ranga is right; like, sometimes brands are black and white, right? So we just want to say this, but you say it in the same way that every other brand is saying, which is not ideal. That's dangerous. Not ideal. So where we would come from is, like, we have to find something that is true of the brand and that is true of people and try to marry them.
But I mean, I can, let's, I'm going to use Raya for an example, right? And I can sit watching my TV and I'll see something from an oil and gas company, and then I'll see something from a pharmaceutical company, and then I'll see something from another company. They are literally the same adverts, just with different actors, slightly different themes.
Sometimes same actors.
Sometimes. Anytime.
You know, I had the privilege of watching how this kind of engagement strategy was developed during my early days at Starcom Media West, working closely with Leo Burnett. And the legendary Yasmin Ahmed used to work closely with her clients and bring these emotions to life, working on the national core emotion. And that kind of created traction for Petronas, the gas and oil and gas.
Her stuff was on a different level.
Right?
Yeah. You know.
But then that set the benchmark, and everybody else is copy-pasting that format.
Exactly.
Right?
Right.
Now, that's a bit of convenience / lazy marketing.
Yeah.
Now, you need another legendary...
Right.
Thinker, a creative strategist, and equally brave client, an advertiser, to jump onto that bandwagon and say, I want to create something path-breaking. Okay, controversial thing to say, 90% of marketers, including agencies, we typically come to a party and say, okay, I want to innovate, but let's look for case studies. You cannot innovate if you're going to be looking for case studies.
So true. So hurtful, but so true.
So we are looking at that case study and then replicating it and milking it and squeezing the blood out of the rock.
Yeah, when what we should be doing is looking at case studies, maybe learning things and then like...
see how it applies. See how it applies,
yeah. And take a leap into the next, the planet. Yeah.
I mean, that's true.
If I can add to the Yasmin Amma thing, right? I think what is different is that she worked very closely and she understood what the brand needed.
Yeah.
And the brand trusted her.
And the brand trusted her. So it's a confluence of things also, lah. Mm. But, you know, at the same time, are we willing today to put in the same amount of effort, put in the same amount of care with our clients, build that trust to create that kind of groundbreaking work?
I'm sure you guys as agencies are. But I think it's the clients who are like, okay, yeah, we want this. Yeah. That worked.
I would actually disagree. I think it's across the whole. I empathize a lot with the clients and advertisers because they are under the pressure to basically convert every dollar into a revenue.
Yeah.
It's not just charity. They are converting revenue opportunities, and marketing is one of the key investments that actually brings in the revenue. And the pressure, it is intense, and therefore... you try to be efficient and compromise a bit on effectiveness. So I empathize with marketers, right? I wouldn't blame them. It's actually...
But then that brings us all the way back around to the chocolates and the flowers. It's the same thing. It's easy marketing, right?
We definitely, as advertisers, we try to break that system, right? But what Ranga is saying is true also, which is like everybody has to answer to someone else. And then someone else has to look at KPIs and someone else has to look at, like, the numbers.
And they're important elements of business, right?
Yeah.
It's not fun we are having. It's not going to a concert. It's actually running a business. So it is an important thing.
Okay. Hold that thought. We need to take a short break. Folks, I'm here in the studio. We are discussing how to understand the consumer's psyche and craft the right marketing campaign and ad campaign that resonate well with the audience. I'm speaking with Ranganathan Somanathan, co-founder and curator of R Squared Global Ventures and creative directors from the charity agency Kwa Jenhan and Christina Fong. We'll be right back here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Busy following Money Trail. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station. Welcome back to Enterprise Explores. It's the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. We are discussing Valentine's Day today. And, well, not just Valentine's Day, but other huge marketing campaigns. And, of course, I'm here speaking with Ranganathan Somanathan, the co-founder and curator of R Squared Global Ventures and creative directors from the chariot agency Kwa Jenhan and Christina Fong. If you have anything to discuss with us, get us via our U-Mobile WhatsApp number. It's 018-789-8899. You can also get us on X. We are at BFM Radio. One thing that seems to crop up a lot in these kind of events is the idea of scarcity. Mm. And when normally stuff like 11-11, 12-12, 1-1, 3-3, 5-5, 6-6, 7, you know what I'm talking about. But how and why does that influence human behavior? Is it back to the FOMO thing, do you think, Ranga?
Totally. It's one is to create that fear of missing out and be part of the early adopter or innovator mindset, right? There are a bunch of people, 15-16% of the population who operate in that space. Mm. And brands typically are trying to unlock that inertia into action. How do you move people from consideration to action?
Right.
It's by creating that fear of missing out.
Yeah. And, so from a human behavior point of view, what Ranga is saying is like, if there's only a limited number of vouchers you can get for the 11-11 sale and you got one, you are special.
Yeah, right.
And you don't want to be, you don't want to miss out.
Yeah.
So it's that brands are tapping on.
Can you give me some good examples of brands recently that have used this principle?
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think in the States, there's this brand called Mischief, MSCHF. They do FOMO marketing very, very well. There's this one that I saw. I think it's called, occasionally they do this thing called Mischief Box, okay? You pay X amount of dollars to buy this mystery box that can contain a gift inside from zero to like tens of thousands.
Okay.
You can even win yourself a motorcycle, a Ducati or something, right? But if you don't open it and you send it back to us unopened in a few months, we'll give you $1,000.
Clever.
Yeah, but there's only a limited number of these boxes.
I would like to share three.
Yeah.
You know, starting starting with one of the best guys today who are doing it is the brand Coldplay, right?
Yeah.
They launch a concert. They don't necessarily say how many days they're going to play in that city. And as the demand goes up, you line people up in a queue before you come online, you buy, and then it's sold out, and then they launch another day and another day, and then they ended up playing six nights recently in Singapore. So that's really gauging and getting people into that frenzy. Mm. The other two are very local. If you all have ever craved for those limited edition toys that McDonald's puts along with that Happy Meals,
yeah,
and the pester power it has amongst your kids, I want it now. So you really take them into that store and get them the toy.
That pester power is powerful, right?
And you get it. And a few years ago, Shell used to do that very well. They used to have this Ferrari car giveaways for every time. And then they always get sold out. They have three models and you just get sold out.
We have a colleague that has the full collection and he's very proud of it.
Indeed, right?
Yeah, so shout out to Brian.
So people who are really passionate about it, they will really go and create that excitement around it, talk about it, post it on their social media. So a lot of brands are doing it exceptionally well locally, but also recently the concert tickets are being sold and that tapping into that emotion.
Yeah. I think isn't it great if brands can make you feel special like that? Like if, you know, Brian can feel like, man, they made all these cars just for me.
He has clearly all just for the Ferraris.
Me. Or, you know, if you're a Coldplay fan and they added a few more days, yes, Coldplay did it just for me. And it's just, it's a nice feeling when a brand, it feels like, you make your own assumptions, right? But it feels nice.
Because I think we have to just be honest, the transaction is going to happen.
Yeah. Mm.
The sale is going to be made. Mm. But if brands can make you feel happy, like Christina said, that's such a nice bonus. Mm.
But it, you know, as a consumer and a skeptic, you know, I'm going to be like, that's not genuine. I know what they're doing.
Actually, if you take that one stretch forward, right? Let's take Apple. Mm. And I had the privilege of working on that brand for 4 years. They basically build a brand and experience so strong that up until a year ago, people used to queue up to go and get their hands on it. And they wouldn't launch it across all markets. So people used to go from their own home country to another country to line up, buy, and take it back home.
Mm.
So what is happening there? They're not necessarily creating a gimmick as much as built a brand, and that equity is so strong that when they launch and they are scaling that launch, they are putting whatever is built onto their own retail, and that kind of gets shipped off, and that creates a frenzy, and that goes and creates momentum. So that is really strong brand building, which creates that fear of missing out.
Yeah, I mean, Apple is such a good example. I mean, even right now with the Vision Pro that they've just released, I can't think of a reason for me to want to use it, but I want one, you know, because the marketing is so strong and so good, and I've seen how they've done it, and they've done these, and I say they are advertisements. They've employed YouTubers to go out and use this thing in public as if they're doing this thing normally, walking around New York City and doing. We know it's a branding exercise.
A product that's more like accessible to us here are the Swatch watches,
right?
Because Swatch has constantly said these are not these are not limited edition. You can buy them, but it's just that they release them so little at a time. And everybody wants one.
What about pricing structure then during these periods as well? I mean, we all know as consumers that these prices are manipulated during these periods, right? And I know you said before you came on the show you can't talk about prices because you don't have an influence in these prices. But
in a way, yes. So as advertisers, it's not our task to tell you how to price your products, right? But sometimes if an idea is so good that you know, we could do something with it, It can happen sometimes.
And again, if you look at it, pricing is probably the laziest tool that a marketer can have to get in there.
I mean, like a deal, right?
Yeah, put on a promotion and a price, and then you compete with the rest of the world on that price point. So it's a lazy solution, but it's not a solution that actually creates emotional hook with the customer. It's a rational validation. I already made up my mind, okay, between these two prices, what do I take? But if I were to take a full year calendar mindset for a brand, which is a chocolate brand or a flower brand, they have a baseline sale that goes around. And that baseline sale is not going to make them break even. So they need to go into these moments where they basically give a bit of a discount to the product, but then increase the volume of sales transaction. And that kind of gets them across the line with regards to their revenue objectives. So these important milestone events, whether it is Valentine's, Father's Day or Mother's Day, they give them the opportunity to get a flip to the business, right? And if they miss these windows, then their full year business cycle is under pressure. So pricing then becomes an important strategy for them to ensure that it doesn't remain a stumbling block for the customer if they are leaning towards you.
Okay.
So it's a lubricant rather than the reason why people get in.
All right. Now, we just got a few more minutes left, and I think we'll wrap it up in just a couple of minutes. But as we've been talking about today, we've identified that, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Just kind of polish it a little bit and push it out the door is arguably what we could say. How do you think marketing strategy may change in the future? I mean, we used Apple as an example just then. But we are seeing like augmented reality becoming a big thing. We're seeing AI becoming a big thing, especially this next couple of years. How do you think that this kind of new technology is going to be utilized in these kind of marketing strategies moving forward after today?
You want to go first, Christine?
Okay. So at work, right? How it has helped is it has helped us illustrate our ideas in better ways to the client. Because in the past, let's say if we're thinking of like, let's make this insane campaign video, right? And we would have to ask artists to help draw this, to help illustrate this to the client. Now with the advent of like, you know, like Midjourney or like even ChatGPT and stuff like that, these things can be bridged better. So perhaps the ideal goal is that we can sell what we want to, like the ideas we want to sell to the clients. But what we believe is fundamentally, it will not change much because it has to be hinged on genuine human insight.
And emotion?
Emotion.
You know, historically, advertising, as we knew, was to design and deliver to a collective. So even 10 years ago, before data and digital became a mainstream play, we used to create one creative TVC, put it on the 8 p.m. slot, and then get 12 million viewers. And then recently we had the same thing with the Super Bowl event where we had the highest single point reach, right? Now, with data and tech, we are able to design and deliver to the individual. And that becomes a very valuable solution.
Right.
Now, AI unlocks the potential of, like Juhan said, they're delivering to that individual. And we've seen some brands already unlock that. Recently, Mondelez in India did that for Cadbury's. So instead of sending everyone the same happy birthday ad, no, that was another one. But this one is recently done, is where instead of me sending you a happy birthday message, I can actually know you, Richard, you like rock and you love this kind of, I know you as a person. Then I put that as an input variable. And then it actually customize and say you love AC/DC, for example, and then I can actually write a customized AC/DC song wishing you a happy birthday and QR scan it on the packaging and send it across to you. So I'm actually, Ranga is actually sending a personalized birthday message to you. And the brand is facilitating that.
You are outsourcing the musical talents.
Right. So, so the point is, how can you hyper-personalize the delivery and the design? And that's what digital and data allow us to do. And I actually foresee a lot more of personalization in messaging, which will allow for aggregating audiences one at a time through what Christina mentioned in the past is creating different currencies. This is a currency that the chocolate brand has created, right? Creating communities, engaging people in those communities. That will create meaningful experience for the brand and therefore more love from the brand.
It really does help with ideation because sometimes it feels like you are bouncing off an unbiased soundboard. You know, like some...
Guys, this was a wonderful chat. Thank you very much for your time today.
Yeah, I had fun.
was great. I really enjoyed it.
I totally enjoyed it. Thank you very much for having us.
Please do come back again. Folks, we are going to wrap up here. I've been speaking, of course, with Ranganathan Somanathan, co-founder and curator of R Squared Global Ventures and creative directors from the charity agency Kwa Jenhan and Christina Fong. You've been listening to the all-new Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. If you missed any part of this conversation, you can catch the podcast on our website at bfm.my or download the BFM app. You can also find our shows on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast players. Just search for Enterprise Explores. Keep it here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.